Scott Drulow spent 17 years in the Duluth Police Department. He transferred to the University of Minnesota Duluth PD just a few years ago, where he works today. He still vividly remembers one investigation he worked on around 14 years ago with a detective called Bill Lannan on a case that involved sex trafficking on Lake Superior ships.
I refer to it as the Big Boat case. There was a young woman that approached him as an informant. Essentially what happened was this woman was trafficked and essentially sold to a foreign flagged vessel in the port of Duluth and was held captive on board that vessel as it left Duluth and went down the Great Lakes where she was repeatedly sexually tortured in a cabin on board this vessel till the ship docked, I believe it was in Cleveland. And somehow she was able to escape her captors in Cleveland and moved on with her life. Frankly, I don't know, after hearing some of the torture events that she had to endure, I don't know how anybody could heal from that. But her motivation then in coming to us was that so that it wouldn't happen to other young girls and women, like what had happened to her.
Prostitution and trafficking are not new issues for the Twin Ports in northeastern Minnesota. Christine Stark is a researcher currently working on a study about sex trafficking on the Duluth ships, and she says that this sort of thing has been happening for a long time.
This has been going on the ships, from at least the 30s and 40s. And that Canal Park area in Duluth used to be a red light district in the 1800s. Grandma's Restaurant and Grandma's Marathon are named after an Italian immigrant woman, Rosa Brocchi, I believe is how you say her last name, who was a madame down in that area and apparently set up other brothels around northern Minnesota before she went back to Italy and disappeared. So this has been something that's been going on for a long time. It's because of that waterway. You know, that's why it's so big there, at least in part. It's a big reason why it's been so entrenched in the Duluth Superior area for such a long time. Before I started the study, I had heard stories and had had Native people come up and tell me. I have a friend who disappeared on those boats 20 or 30 years ago. Native women, children, boys and girls, get taken on those boats and brought to other countries, and they're never heard from again. In some ways, you could almost say it was like a sort of a free-for-all with women and teenage girls in particular, Native women and teenage girls, and also some white women and some white girls being brought out onto the ships and being sold to the men on the ships.
The Duluth PD eventually handed the Big Boat case over to federal investigators, but unfortunately, no arrests arose from their investigations. The woman who came forward in the case was actually a rare example. According to Scott, one of the biggest hurdles in investigations is getting victim testimony, since they are often afraid to speak about their experiences for fear of retribution. He found that manipulation was a common tool traffickers used to lure women and children into the crime.
You know, it's a lot of times nothing more than isolating your victim from friends, family, economic means of escape, any other cognitive means of escape. Bill ended up talking to one of the traffickers that would bring girls and young women from Duluth to Vegas. And this guy didn't know anything about GPS or maps or atlases or anything. He just knew that he would get these young women, isolate them, victimize them into sexual servitude, and then he starts driving south. And he takes real good care of them and looks out for them, and he's the sweet, loving, benevolent protector, and then he says, if I get down to Des Moines, Iowa, I take a right. And that's where his directions are, how he gets to Vegas. If I can get him to Des Moines and take a right, and they haven't jumped out of the car on me by then, I've got him. And then from Des Moines on to Vegas, he has him, forces him into 6 to 7 sexual encounters a day at truck stops and rest stops.
Once traffickers have lured women and children in, they need a way to sell them. These days, websites like Backpage.com and Craigslist have been notorious as avenues for the sale of sex. But in the days of the Duluth Police Department's Big Boat case, these tools weren't widely used yet.
what, and this is kind of before the internet was what it is today, and before cell phone communication was what it is today, there would be ads placed in WANET that were alphanumeric coded. And the captains of these vessels that were coming in knew where to look in the WANET ads. So they would come into town and they would find, you know, a code for whatever it was they were looking for, almost like a menu. In fact, one of the slang terms used for finding a particular aged girl, young woman of a particular race or not, was called grocery shopping. They'd go to the wherever the ad was placed, find a phone number, and essentially call in Bill Lannon's investigation the madam, and say and make an order, and that's what they call it. They'll make an order, and then so the madam would get the girls or young women, whatever these guys ordered, load them in a taxi, drive them down to the port, and go on board the ship.
But Scott says that's changed in recent years. Since 9/11, it's become very difficult to board ships in the Twin Ports.
Security on the ports changed that whole scenario. 2010 or 2011, there was a woman in town. Her name is Jane Wells. She's a documentary filmmaker. And she was doing a documentary film on human trafficking. And, of course, she ended up in Duluth. And she'd say, is it really that tough to get down on the ports now? Can't they still do it that way? And so I said, well, I'll show you. And I was wearing plain clothes, but I was on duty, so I had my police ID, my badge, and we went down to the port. And I knew the people that worked at the port, because that was one of the districts I worked as a patrol officer for many years. And I drove. We drove down there, and we got stopped. And so here I was an on-duty police officer, but I still had to go through this whole process.
Scott says that nowadays, more and more of the transactions are occurring off the ships, in hotels and bars nearby.
To this very day, and in fact, me and other investigators still can just log on to Craigslist or Backpage or erotic ads or any of the dating sites, and you can still find these ads, only they're much more blatant in their description of the services they're offering. And instead of going down to the port, now the crew from the vessel will go to a predetermined location.
But Christine says she's learned from the women she's spoken with that trafficking is still happening on the ships.
I have been told by someone who was taken out there in the last couple of years that there are some Native women still being brought out and sold on those ships since 9/11. But what has been happening is inseparable from the rest of the organized prostitution in the Duluth, Superior, and surrounding areas.
As Scott saw in the big boat case, the underground nature of the crime and its psychological impact on victims makes prosecuting traffickers and Johns extremely difficult. The inability to identify the criminals in cases like these has left some unanswered questions for Scott.
I've often wondered, as have some people I knew back in the day in Thunder Bay and the OPP, some of these bodies that wash up on the shore, the Big Gitch, you know, were they women that were tossed overboard on a ship when they were done? We'll never know, but I'd say, yeah, probably.
For the Lake Superior Project, I'm Kelly Schoenfelder. The Lake Superior Project is a production of WTIP Community Radio on the north shore of Lake Superior. Support for this series comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. For more information, visit WTIP.org/Lake Superior Project.